T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good Sunday morning, everybody. Welcome on in. It is Fighters Fury here on 790 The Ticket. Tobin here with you as the next hour. We'll dive all over the world of mixed martial arts and boxing. I want to start off with this story that came from The Athletic this week. And it was a story surrounding Canelo Alvarez and DAZN. And that the fact that Canelo Alvarez is now threatening to sit out in 2020 because DAZN is offering, they're at a standstill about how much he is supposed to get for these for this next fight. Now, DAZN, we talked about this recently with DAZN, is that they made a big leap in how much they were charging their customers after they came out of the fence. They came out of the gate swinging with how much they were offering big-time fighters. But obviously, the Canelo Alvarez deal, that was like the cherry on top. And what happened was is that, you know, according to The Athletic, that Golden Boy, they promised to deliver 2 Canelo events annually, with one against a premier opponent, which was supposed to be at DAZN's sole discretion. You know, and in their mind, that'd be somebody like Gennady Golovkin, you know, and that was probably the idea when they signed Golovkin. That was the idea that they were going to get the trilogy fight between those guys. That has always been big business. There's been a lot of controversy. But obviously, you know, those two have had heated back and forths. Canelo Alvarez is not fond of Gennady, so they've gone in other directions. And really, like, his fights that have been on DAZN have been pretty trash. Rocky Fielding, Sergey Kovalev, Danny Jacobs was good, but it definitely would have been better, I think, a little bit earlier. But it's a good fight. I like Daniel Jacobs as a fighter. You know, but it's not, you know, I don't think this deal for DAZN definitely probably hasn't been what it was. And if you've seen some of the names that have been kicked around in the recent weeks for, you know, Canelo's next opponent, it's like, you know, if you could get Billy Joe Saunders, obviously that would be fantastic. I think that's probably the name most people would want to see. If you could get one of the Charlo brothers to somehow jump ship, something like that. Oh, I don't know if you could fight Demetrius Andrade, who's a middleweight champion under their umbrella. If they could do something in that regard, that would be great. Except, you know, there's dudes you've never heard of who he's going to the WBC to make his mandatory and all that type of stuff. So DAZN is pissed. And so for the next fight, they basically offered him half of his guarantee. The report was, this is from Mike Coppinger. It says, DAZN went and they offered him about $17.5 million, which I don't know if anybody in boxing is making that today. Like, don't get me wrong, but it's half of his guarantee for what was a proposed matchup with Callum Smith. The parties are at an impasse. Alvarez is seeking his full guarantee and is unwilling to concede. Now, there's a couple things. I can see the frustration from DAZN. From the standpoint of, come on, bro. Like, what are we doing here? Like, we did sign into this monster deal, and who are you fighting here? You know, like, what are we doing for Callum Smith? You know, like, no, well, we're not paying you $35 million for that. So I get it from DAZN standpoint. The thing that pisses me off personally as a fan, and why I find all of this subscription stuff a little bit rough as far as, you're forking over all this dough just for boxing, and yet, you know, they act like that you're doing it a favor because you get to see Canelo Alvarez for $20 a month. And what I would say to that for you know, to the boxing fan is like, you're not doing anybody a favor to watch a famous guy fight somebody who's not in his league competition wise. You know, not every fight, just because every fight since you've, you know, been blue in the face has cost you $50 does not mean that every fight is worth $50. And now even going up to $75, $60, it's just what we've been told is the price. So now you're even being told, oh, it's a bargain. You know, you're paying $40, you know, you go 2 months by, you're paying, you know, that's $40, but you haven't been given any good fights. And this is a platform, quite frankly, that really doesn't offer you anything outside of boxing. And I mean, I'm sure for the hardcore fans, it's good. But if you know, you could watch a whole card on ESPN and it's a quarter of the price. And do you are you really saying DAZN stuff is that much better? I don't know. As somebody who consumes a lot of the sport, I'm not rushing to pay the extra $20 to watch them on their platform. But you could see that this was probably coming a mile away. There's been so much talk and there's been so much drama that has gone on with this next Canelo Alvarez opponent. And you know, it was funny. You know, Oscar goes and he tweeted out this thing the other day where he was like, if there was ever a time boxing could use their star because it's so thirsting for ratings. And it's like, that's boxing's fault, Oscar. Like, I don't know what to tell you. You could throw Canelo Alvarez on there and yeah, you're going to get more people to watch, but you're not going to knock the socks off of what you think that's going to be just because, Canelo Alvarez is fighting. I guarantee you that the lineup that Showtime has going on is a much better bang for a boxing fan's buck between all the guys they got on PBC that are fighting. Plus you get Showtime, which, you know, has a lot of great content besides, you know, whatever it is on. So maybe you could say, if you're the hardcore and you're watching, you know, the prelims all the way through, I'm sure there are hardcore fans that buy DAZN, ESPN Plus, Showtime, maybe even still have HBO because they're holding out hope they'll get back in the game. Premier Boxing Champions on Fox. I'm sure they're doing all of that. But the one thing I will say with this contract thing is, you know, if this is a ploy for DAZN to get them to fight better opponents, I'm for it. If they know, though, that, you know, Canelo's already skipped one of his dates. So if you're in a position where you think, hey, you're supposed to give us two fights a year, one's supposed to be our choice. You skipped one because of a pandemic, fine. Then we want this one to be an absolute monster. If you're fighting Caleb Smith, we don't find that to be, you know, to the best of our interest. And so you're going to make $17 million. This is what I would say, though, to DAZN. If this is the case and you're giving half, you know, Canelo half the price that he is getting, you should tell your customers they should get to pay half the price. I got to be honest with you. Like, if this is the tactics that we're going down to, you know, make if you're footing the bill for Canelo Alvarez, right? And that is the main reason why the money went up the way that it did. Then please do us all a favor and slash some prices, man. Give us a deal. Make something go down, because you know, you're just not getting your money's worth when it comes to this network. The funny thing though is there's been so much drama between, you know, Canelo Alvarez and this whole idea of him picking in opponents. You wonder what the future is going to be here, man, because this is one of those things where we haven't really gotten to see how all the subscription stuff goes to fruition. ESPN Plus seems like it's been a pretty big success because not only, first of all, boxing is the B platform. It's the B product on there. Like ESPN Plus, the big entity that they have there is UFC, and that's just that. You know, it's the gateway to their pay-per-views. It's their exclusive holder of pay-per-views. Like, that is the bread and butter. So boxing kind of just coming along for the ride on that. It's not being carried by boxing. Even though there's, you know, there's still some good top-ranked talent. And I like a lot of the fighters that Top Rank has. And, you know, I, too, would like to see Terrence Crawford, Teofimo Lopez, Vasily Lomachenko, Tyson Fury, all these guys fight more. But, you know, they're doing their thing at a reasonable price. What is it now? $7.99? You know, I think it's upped a little bit from the original $5 that it was. But that's a reasonable bump. Okay, hey, guys, you've had ESPN Plus for 2 years now. We're going to up it a couple of bucks, just like Netflix did. But DAZN, they hooked all these people and were just like, bam, $20 a month next year. Sorry. More from the report. DAZN hadn't yet signed Triple G when it added Canelo as the face of their streaming platform, but it already had designs of matching the middleweights for a third time. With a promise to kill pay-per-view model, DAZN officials had hoped that a caliber event the caliber of Canelo Triple G would convince sports fans to subscribe, stick around for the rest of its events. And after all, the first account between the stars pulled around 1.3. The rematch generated 1.1, which, by the way, isn't that great that the rematch did worse. 5 months after signing Alvarez, DAZN locked up the other half of the equation, signing a six-fight deal. Yet 18 months later, Canelo and Triple G still isn't scheduled, leaving DAZN officials frustrated with Golden Boy's inability to deliver the fight and live up to its contract. That agreement, sources says, uses Golovkin as an example of a premier opponent. Furthermore, De La Hoya and company verbally expressed, per sources, that Canelo Triple G would be an easy fight to finalize once Golovkin was indeed signed to the platforms. But Canelo rebuffed attempt to finalize the trilogy, unwilling to grant his bitter rival the chance of revenge. It seemed that he was well within his rights to refuse the rematch to Triple G, and there's been no such language in Canelo's agreement with Golden Boy that dictates whom he must fight, to the serious point of friction with DAZN. To date, Team Canelo has never reviewed Golden Boy's contract with DAZN, and attempts to by the fighter's side to obtain a copy have been stonewalled. That's funny. Golden Boy's five-year deal with DAZN calls for a minimum of 5 events annually, 10 maximum, excluding Canelo, including the rights deal. DAZN pays them approximately $17 million per year for those non-Canelo bouts. So, you know, look, it's not surprising. It's one of those things. DAZN, this is the interesting one, because I would say the only one that I would say of his decent opponents has been Jacobs, is what it says. DAZN never signed off on Jacobs, who earned about a $10 million as a premier foe, but that was okay since Golden Boy only had to deliver one such fight per year. When DAZN officials pushed for Canelo Triple G in the fall, Alvarez showed no interest in fighting Golovkin. He dug in, used his leverage, and completed after the deal could not be completed to fight his mandatory challenge, Derevchenko. September dates fell apart. So, look, man, it's not a great look. DAZN's in a bad spot right now, I would say. The other thing is you have Anthony Joshua, Tyson Fury on the horizon. And, look, you're going to want to do that fight on pay-per-view. You're not going to want to do it on streaming. Let's just be honest. And, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to act here like I know what Anthony Joshua's deal is with DAZN. But I would, it's more likely with Matchroom and all that type of stuff, I would venture to guess that, you know, that's going to still be on pay-per-view. And then what are you getting as far as a DAZN fighter, as far as a DAZN subscriber, you know, for the price that you have to pay? Look, $10 a month, I know this seems like, you know, you're stickling, like, there's a big difference between, it's twice the price for a product that is not worth it. It's not. And, you know, they make it seem like you should be thankful that we even have Canelo and Anthony Joshua. It's like, look, guys, there's a lot of combat sports out there, and I like to watch competitive versions. And I've seen Canelo. This isn't a knock on Canelo, because, look, Canelo's taken on some big challenges in his career. But right now, you know, this idea that they can't lock anybody in to fight Canelo Alvarez with this upcoming bout is pretty crazy. And I get, it's not that I don't get DAZN's frustration. Like, this is what they paid him for. They paid him to be the entity that was going to carry them to destroy pay-per-view boxing. It's not working. It's not working because, you know, because even the fighters that you do have there, you can't even get a situation. So it's weird. According to this report, too, it says he settled on Billy Joe Saunders, but at this time, DAZN dug in. They would have approved on the fight on the condition that Alvarez signed off to sign the long-awaited deal with Golovkin. Well, that's the other side to this, too. It's not Canelo's problem that they have a big contract, too, with Golovkin, and that they want Golovkin, obviously, to fight Canelo. That's not Canelo's problem. You know, but we're in a spot where it's also the problem that DAZN probably didn't realize is you thought that the fight was going to be easy to deliver. There's no real incentive, I would say, for Canelo to take the fight against Golovkin because there's no pay-per-view points anymore. You know, there's nothing, there's no number that he has to deliver you. He has a $35 million guarantee. So why is he going to fight Canelo Alvarez? Why is Canelo going to fight Triple G when he doesn't have to? Like, you already have this deal in place. But offering him half the money, like, the only thing I would say to that, to DAZN, that kind of sucks is, like, what's the difference? You know, the only people, you know, when I hear these numbers that are getting, you know, sliced and diced from promoters to making these fights happen, a lot of the times I can understand it because, okay, live gate's not there, no live gate, you know, can't put together the big matchups, or we want to hold back on the big matchups because we want an audience to go see them. But I don't know what that has to do with DAZN. Like, DAZN is a TV network, so you want more people at home, I would assume, more people at home watching Canelo Alvarez on your streaming platform. So it's an interesting spot, man. I got to be honest with you. I don't think the future is that bright for DAZN. I get, you know, I've, as a guy who had their product, thought it wasn't great, seen how tough it has been for them to run the business. Now, you know, I know they got a very experienced man in John Skipper as a guy who's run the worldwide leader in sports before. But the problem with this is, you know, John Skipper kind of made his bones of buying up all these live sports entities. And I don't know what you get at DAZN. You get a baseball highlight show, darts, and C-level boxing. You know, and so he knows the value of having to have must-see sporting events on his network, but there's nothing to go buy. You know, there's just nothing out there. So we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to a little bit of UFC from last night. Alistair Overeem getting himself a win, staying relevant, and this maybe twilight run for the Ream. We'll get to that next. Welcome back, everybody. Fighters Fury rolls on this Sunday morning here on The Ticket. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Obviously, we have a big game coming up tonight, too. You have Game 4 of the Eastern Conference semifinals. Hope everybody has their brooms, their fabuloso, their mops out as the Heat look to complete the sweep of the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. 3:30 tip-off from the bubble. That means we will get you going at 2:15 today. Jonathan Zaslow and Tommy Tighe will have you covered, getting you ready for what could be, I mean, just an absolute monster day for the Miami sports fan. Think about the week that we could have going into this, man. We could be talking about your Miami Heat taking out the Milwaukee Bucks. Even if it's not today, which it will be, it'll be this week. Canes are opening up. Dolphins opening up. Marlins in the swing of things. I mean, this is, I mean, we miss this so damn much. It is great to have all this back. But yeah, check that out today, guys. 3:30, you have the tip-off. Zaslow and Tommy Tighe will get you going at 2:15 with the Miami Heat pregame show. Have it all tuned here for The Ticket. Mike Inglis, Ruth Riley Hunter will have your call. Of course, they will be calling it from American Airlines Arena. He will be balling out from the bubble. So stay tuned for that later on today. Meanwhile, we had UFC action last night. Now, this one, COVID took a hatchet to this one. A lot of missed fights, only ended up being like 9 bouts, which was appreciated from the standpoint of, you know, we got done by around 11:15. Main event was Alistair Overeem taking on Augusto Sakai, which was a top 10 matchup. You had Reem, number 5. You have Sakai, he's number 8. And Sakai, 29 years old, really taking a big step up, would have been the biggest win on his resume. And you have Alistair Overeem, who, you know, the talks around all this, this is his last run. This is going to be, you know, if he can't get it done here, maybe we won't hear from Alistair Overeem anymore. And so this was a great, this is, you know, this is a fun little matchup. And I think you saw the veteranness of Overeem take over in this fight and outwit Sakai and how this was all going. It looked like Sakai was putting it on Alistair Overeem early on. And it's funny, man. I watch Alistair and I'm looking at this. I'm just like, man, I missed the Ream. You know, I miss like the Barry Bonds Ream. But it was a smart plan. You know, he's so good at striking. He's become pretty well rounded, and I think that's one of the things is you can just see him find the holes in everybody's games to try and go and get himself a win. And you know, we're talking right now, if this guy doesn't have a huge slip up against Jairzinho Rozenstruik, he's in the midst of a 5-fight win streak. And if that's the case, you know, you're also talking about a guy in Rozenstruik who may, I guess he probably wouldn't be ranked as high as he is now, but Ream would be in a good spot if it wasn't getting his face obliterated like that. And that's the problem. You know, you look at his problem right now in the title hunt. We'll get to his performance in a second. Is all the guys on top of him have basically beaten him. That's the problem he faces right now in this next title run. I guess the one thing that you could say is going for him is he hasn't fought Stipe in a while. So, you know, maybe Stipe thinks that's, you know, something, you know, that could be a thing, you know, that they could make happen. But I don't know. I remember the negotiations for that one being a little bit dicey too. I think the first time they went around, but anywho, you know, Sakai was putting it up against, I thought that in the clinch work, it looked like Sakai was getting the better of it early on. He was really hitting Ream with some heavy stuff. Lot of output from him, you know, so maybe it seemed like Augusto was, you know, tapping himself out a little bit from output, and that was slowing him down somewhat. Overeem on his side, you know, he always seemed like from the second round on found a window to really turn the round in his favor. So even though maybe the more vicious strikes were going to be from Sakai, it wasn't in the volume that maybe it needed. And, you know, then we get to the third, you know, we get to ourselves in the third and fourth round, and it was a bludgeoning. Like, it was one of those things where Alistair Overeem goes out there and he's really starting to open up. And now he's looking, the other thing is he's taking some punishment himself. He's cut up, he's beat up a little bit. And you know, he's got to deal with, he's got a hematoma on the side of his head, starting a cut by the middle of it. So he's got blood coming down his side, but he ends up getting this trip on Sakai, puts him on the canvas in the fourth round, and he ends this round. It's arguable that it could have been stopped. It was that kind of, bloody. And once the round was over, Sakai didn't even want to get up. Like, he was like, I am done for. I think Alistair actually even offered his hand to help him up. That's how tired he was from what they had forth in that matchup. But look, it was one of those things where, you know, they go up for the fifth round, just a matter of time. Sakai had nothing left, and Alistair Overeem puts himself in, you know, a good position. Now, the interesting one is, where does he go from here? I think the obvious matchup that they got to go to be honest with you, although I did say that this guy, I could see them going a bunch of directions with this guy, I think the obvious matchup has to be that they got to go with, with Derek Lewis. Like, Derek Lewis, for some reason, was sitting here and he was taunting Overeem as the fight was going on. He kept giving every round to Sakai on Twitter. I don't know what the deal was there, but, you know, I think that's a fun fight. Those guys definitely worthy of headlining a fight night and being a main event. I think that people would definitely tune into. It's not the fight I want most for Derek Lewis. The fight I want, you know, Derek Lewis to fight the most is I want him to fight Rozenstruik. And then Curtis Blaydes is kind of just sitting out here waiting in the wings, and he's waiting for, you know, his title shot, which he's also, you know, very much deserving of. There's not much more else for him to prove. The only problem with Curtis is, you know, the guy who's up in front of you has whooped your ass twice. and has done it very, very convincingly. So there's no talks of you cutting line. The only thing that really helps Curtis is Stipe is not that keen on fighting Francis, but I don't think he's really going to have a say in this. Like, Francis deserves the shot. That's just that. And, you know, it's not like, you know, Stipe has had the belt. He's the most decorated champion they've ever had. But, you know, he's not like this monster star who I think can throw his weight around and say, I refuse to fight that guy. You know, he didn't want to fight Daniel Cormier again, and they did that. So I firmly believe they're gonna do Francis versus Stipe. What does that mean for Curtis Blaydes? I don't know. I would say that, you know, do you put Reem in there with a guy that he's already lost to? I don't know. Doesn't, you know, I would try and make the stand up matchups for Reem because I think they're as fun as they possibly could be. You know, he did get beat up pretty bad by Curtis Blaydes. I don't think you run that back. There is argument to do him versus Rozenstruik again if they wanted to go in that direction. So if you went, you know, if you wanted to go in the direction of Rozenstruik versus Overeem, that Rozenstruik won on a fluke, that's a possibility. I think that they could run that back. And I think if Rozenstruik beats him worse, you know, you're beating a top five guy again in Overeem. It's a level win. I don't think it goes much of anywhere for anything. And then, do you do Curtis Blaydes versus Derek Lewis? That's a possibility, too. Probably the ones that make the most sense. And then I guess you got to throw the wild card of John in this, but I've been firm on this. I think when John comes up, he deserves to fight for the heavyweight belt. It's a little bit of a cluster, but I will say, they have good contenders there. I would like to see, you know, Rozenstruik get himself in position again to compete with somebody. You know, Rozenstruik, too, is going to be in this weird spot where if Francis becomes the champion eventually, it's going to be tough for Rozenstruik to be up in that regard. It's going to be tough for a lot of guys, quite frankly, if Francis wins the belt. You know, I know that they want Francis to be champion, but it's going to be tough to find matchups that are compelling for him because he has beaten the holy hell out of Curtis Blaydes. He has beaten the holy hell out of Rozenstruik. Derek Lewis is probably in that spot. See, if I'm Derek, and maybe Derek is looking at this from the standpoint of he thinks he has an easier fight against Overeem than he does against Jarzinho because Jarzinho is a little bit more dangerous from the one-strike standpoint of than Overeem is these days. You know, Overeem's a little bit more of a tactician. He isn't, you know, the juiced-up assassin that he used to be. So that's a possibility. Maybe Derek Lewis looks at that matchup and thinks, little less risk of fighting Overeem, and I can still find some spots to hit him and knock him out. So maybe that's why he was taunting so much during the fight tonight. So if that's the case, then maybe you do Rozenstruik versus Curtis Blaydes and Derek Lewis versus Overeem. That way, if you have Derek Lewis coming on top and Rozenstruik coming on top, compelling matchup because, you know, you haven't seen that. Derek Lewis, Curtis Blaydes, haven't seen that. Overeem versus Rozenstruik, still compelling because Overeem has, you know, the thought that, you know, he only lost on a Hail Mary. Only real stinker that really comes out of all of that is Alistair versus Curtis because of how bad Curtis beat him. But look, man, we're going to end up doing Francis versus Stipe, and Stipe beat the brakes off of Francis Ngannou. So that's that with that, you know. But the one good thing you could say about heavyweight is it's got a lot of good contenders. There's been a lot of parity, I would say. So that's been fun. And that's, I think, the one thing with heavyweight MMA is it really can go anywhere. I know we just saw this with him versus, we saw this with Stipe versus DC. You know, DC knocked him out in the first round and then, you know, seemingly was on his way to another victory, ended up losing late. You know, and then the next fight, you know, won a pretty easy decision for Stipe. It went three different ways, but it was very competitive. And, you know, Francis looked game in the first round against Stipe. We haven't really seen him be pressed since, other than the Derek Lewis fiasco. You know, so is there a shot that he catches something with Stipe this time that puts him out? Absolutely. And same goes for if Overeem were to get a shot at Curtis Blaydes. Is there a shot that Overeem can find a way to go win? Absolutely. And I think that a lot of these matchups could go different ways. So this division, more so than any, the rematches, I think, bring forth a little bit more interest. But there's still some ways to finagle this top five where you don't have to make it so repetitive. There can be some different ways to go. We'll take a quick break here on Fighters Fury. We'll give you a little bit more from the card and some news from the week. We're back after this. Welcome back, everybody. It's Fighters Fury here on 790 The Ticket as this Sunday rolls on. Let's get some of the news of the week that we had going on in the fight world. We got the announcement that Fight Island. Fight Island is real, and it's coming back. UFC is going to be back at Abu Dhabi for Israel Adesanya versus Paulo Costa for their championship fight, which is coming up. You got some other events that they got coming up for... Brian Ortega versus Korean Zombie is going to be on October 17th. So they'll be back officially on September 26th, and they will have on October 3rd, Holly Holm will be back. You'll have one fight coming up on October 10th. They haven't announced the main event yet. Brian Ortega versus Korean Zombie will be the week after that on October 17th, and then Khabib versus Justin Gaethje for the lightweight championship will be October 24th. That's my birthday week. Great birthday present for me. I can't wait for that one. So yeah, that's exciting. We got a fun month coming up, man, as far as the fights are concerned. Boxing, MMA is all kind of coming into the fold. This also coming up, we have coming up in a week's time, Bare Knuckle FC will be back, and you have Thiago Alves. He is now going to be fighting Julian Lane after Phil Baroni pulled out of the fight. So that'll be interesting. You know, we just had Thiago on a couple of weeks ago for his, his debut press conference, even though it was a little bit overshadowed by obviously them signing Paige VanZant. But BKFC 12 will be headlined by him, and it is going to be exclusively on the Bare Knuckle TV app. So you'll be able to check that out. Speaking of DAZN, I think they were supposed to close some deal with DAZN. Isn't that what the president told us recently? Either way, it'll be on September 11th. So that is going to be, what is that? Is that next Thursday officially? I'm going to tell you, it's going to be hard times. You guys are putting that on the opening night of, no, it's next Friday. Next Friday, which, let's see. Today we got basketball. Tuesday we theoretically have basketball if it got extended. So there wouldn't be Heat basketball that day. There's not going to be Canes. All right. So Friday's a good night for combat next week. I'll be in on that, boys from BKFC. Just need to make sure. It's a very busy schedule right now. Like, I wanted to get down to Titan FC last week. Just too much stuff was up in the air, man. Like, I couldn't commit to going because I didn't know when Heat Bucks was going to be down. I didn't know, you know, don't forget there was also the stoppage in play with the NBA, so it kind of threw everything up in a monkey wrench. But either way, September 11th, next week, BKFC, you now have Thiago Alves. He is going to fight Julian Lane in the main event, and I believe, isn't Hector supposed to be on the card as well? I just want to make sure that I have this. Pretty sure, because Hector was like really fired up about fighting on September 11th. So I think Hector Lombard is going to be on that card as well. Not the debut of Paige VanZant. That's expected to be later this year, but Thiago Alves in BKFC should be good. And I think I know that Hector wants to put on, I think, a better performance than he did in his BKFC debut as well. So we got that coming up for you. It should be an exciting one for sure. It was interesting too, you know, when we talked to BKFC about this, their president David Feldman. And he was saying what a big deal it was to have Paige sign with them because, you know, people knew that, like, they had money and that it was, the Tyson thing, when they went out and gave Tyson the offer of $20 million, like, it was actually a legit offer, that they are trying to make some waves here. And there was the news this week that Brock Lesnar is a free agent at the moment for his WWE deal. And, they put out the little gif of, DiCaprio and Django where he's like, oh, you now have my curiosity. So I haven't heard any rumors about them offering Brock Lesnar any money, but that'd be something if they offered Brock Lesnar a ton of dough. I think that would be a huge event, to be honest with you. I don't know. Brock going anywhere, I think, will be a monster one. To be honest, when I heard the news of Brock Lesnar, my first reaction was like, all right, well, if Brock Lesnar is a free agent and he's really interested in fighting, which I don't think that he is, I want to go back to square one because, you know, the initial one that I wanted to come back was him to fight John Jones. And that would be the only fight at heavyweight that I think John would fight that isn't the title fight. You know, it's going to do big enough business to where obviously he's going to he's going to reap the benefits financially. And quite frankly, I think it's a good matchup for him. You know, I think that he's going to smoke a dude that he's just way better skilled at mixed martial arts. So that's the way I'd want them to go. I don't think Brock Lesnar is going to fight, though. I think it's Fugazi. I don't buy it. Like every time we get Brock Lesnar news and Dana's like, of course I'd be interested in signing Brock Lesnar. It's always just a play for him to get WWE money, which look, I'm not hating on Brock Lesnar for that. Look, we all wish that we had that kind of leverage in life where we could always flirt with somebody. I wish that I could always flirt with, you know, Spotify and they'd be like, Tobin, we'd always love to have you. And that could always up my amount of money with radio.com. Like I wish that could be the way. But it's not right now. One day it will be. But from this standpoint, Brock Lesnar, look, he's got this leverage. The thing is, though, I wonder with the WWE, who I'm sure is like everybody dealing with financial stuff, how much is it, how much does it, you know, how much is that deal going to be worth with a Brock Lesnar who you can't sell out a local audience to? Like, he is only on television. You know, you have a lot of people subscribed to that app already. So would this be the time and place where he would actually make the jump if the UFC would offer him something ludicrous? Because, you know, they feel like financially their numbers have been pretty good, even if it's not what it is with the gate. I don't know. I think for a lot of these big combat athletes, this is a tough decision. Like we were talking about with the Canelo stuff, like you get used to making insane amount of money. And now all of a sudden that stream isn't there, you know, that this thing in life that was guaranteed, which is people selling out buildings to go watch you do what you do, is no longer a guarantee. You know, it's feels like it's getting back to normal. It feels like we're going to see more experimentation, especially with the football season comes back and, you know, there being 13,000 people to go see a college football game. You know, we're all, I think, venturing into that stuff in life. You know, I went airboat riding this weekend with my family and it's like, you know, is it quarantining? No, but you know, look, man, we've been doing this quarantine thing for 9 months. It was outdoors. You know, we did it with two other people on a boat, separated well away from us. And, you know, we were in the middle of the basking sun and outside with a boat. I don't even feel like mucus could survive on that boat. We're all doing this type of stuff. So I think from that standpoint with big stars, I think they're probably all better off kind of just waiting idly by, because I imagine when the demand is there, when the ability is there to have events, live events again, it's almost like your demand will maybe be worth double what it was, because people are going to want to have successful live events because there may be these thought of people not wanting to risk it. You know, it'll be interesting. It's going to be interesting for, you know, teams. I'll deter here a little bit. It'll be interesting for teams that don't have a great product to go watch and season tickets. I wonder how those teams are going to survive. You know, like for example, it's going to be a different way of life, I think, down here for the Marlins and Panthers, who've always kind of struggled with attendance as it is. You know, now you have on top of it, okay, you haven't been a very successful franchise, but then on top of it, do people really want to risk to go watch sports when they can watch it at home? Like, it's just another thing. Like, there was already the enemy of TV, I think, taking away the lot, you know, the mystique of wanting to be there live, because TV's effing awesome now. Like, you get this crystal clear picture on your couch, all this type of stuff. The points have been made. Now, add on top of it, also, you don't get disease. You know, like, So it's interesting because I think those are the teams that now the Marlins are getting better. I don't want this to be a shot at the Marlins. I'm just saying where their fan bases are right now, which is Panthers and Marlins, very small, very niche. Franchises haven't been very successful in the past two. You look at the Miami Heat, which, you know, this their president has come out and said, not Pat Riley, but their business president, Eric Woolworth, has come out and given interviews and said, we only want to come back if we can have everybody there. And why wouldn't they? Like, they're not only coming off a year where they're about to make the Eastern Conference Finals and hopefully finish that job later today. So you're going to, what that would be for season tickets would, I imagine, be incredible. But then I add on top of that, this is, you know, now not, this isn't just me being the silly stuff with the whale sound stuff. Like, they are legitimately, with cap space, assets, all that type of stuff, is a monster free agent destination. Now, I don't know what that means for, you know, what moves they'll make, but if you're a Heat season ticket rep, or if you're a season ticket salesperson, you got a lot of stuff to sell. Like, this isn't like it was probably a couple of years ago when you were trying to sell Deion Waiters and Hassan Whiteside. Like, and you have poor Jason Jackson sitting in, you know, the lower bowl of the American Airlines Arena. And in the same point, you have the Dolphins, whose season tickets have actually been really good lately. But now you have, on top of the fact, you have Tua Tagovailoa's debut and career coming down the pipe. So my point of that all being is the people, the risk now of having to put on live events and making sure people get out there is going to put people like Brock Lesnar, Canelo Alvarez, John Jones, Conor McGregor, it's going to put them, I think, even in higher demand, because if people are going to, you know, risk going out, even if it's not as big a risk and hopefully isn't any risk by the time they go out, but if it is, you're going to want to do it for like a once in a lifetime event or event that you find very, very much worth your money. So to me, when I heard the Brock Lesnar news, I was like, fighting, don't buy it. Don't really buy the, I think it's a leverage play. But it's good if you're Brock Lesnar to kind of test those waters to know where things are at, because I think when time does come for him to make his decision, he's probably going to make a lot of dough. It might even be more prudent for him to kind of sit idly by for a while, because he's got a ton of money as it is. So there's that. That's kind of the whole deal with that. A couple of the news and notes. Shout out to our guy Xander Zayas. He got himself a win. He is 5-0. Happy birthday to him. He turned 18 on Saturday. Got his fifth win on Friday. Obliterated his opponent. I have that knockout up on my Instagram page if you guys want to check it out. At @Brendan_Tobin, @BrendanTobin. If you want to check that out. So shout out to our guy there. And blossoming young career. He's a great young fella. As nice as can be, and you could do nothing but want to root for the guy and everything that he brings to the table. From UFC Vegas 9, other things that we didn't get to. Oh, OSP, sick knockout on Alonzo Menifield. So good win for Ovince St. Preux. Did the Wakanda Forever afterwards, got himself a bonus. You had Michel Piajeda, who was... I mean, that guy was fun to watch. He was doing like kicks off the cage. He called out Jorge Masvidal afterwards, which I don't think is going to happen. I mean, we did we even speak of the rumors this week? The rumors were Masvidal is looking like he's going to take on Nate Diaz in the near future. I think we mentioned it briefly last week. He's probably going to take on Nate Diaz in either December or January next year, which, you know, it makes sense. You know, he's coming off the loss to Kamaru. It puts him in line. Him and Kamaru are going to fight about a month apart. You know, whoever comes out of that, do they fight for the welterweight championship? You know, you can see the direction that's probably going. I think George probably gets an easy win against Nate. He just looks like he's got a more well-rounded skill set. And Nate's not like a drop-dead knockout type of guy. And so you put on top of the fact they're pretty even boxing-wise, and then you put on Jorge's kicks, full camp. I feel like he gets the win there. Does it have the gravitas that the first fight did? I don't think so. I think that's going to be pretty hard to match just because of what we saw the last time. It would have to be a hell of a sell job by Nate. Like, Nate's going to have to really get out his tinfoil fans, because Nate Diaz fans, it's like a cult. The Diaz army, it's real, but they'll believe anything they say. You know, everything's a conspiracy, all that type of stuff. And then you have Gilbert Burns versus Kamaru Usman, whoever comes out on top. And if Usman loses that fight to Gilbert, I guess depending on how it goes, you know, does he get will he get an instant rematch with how he's been his champ? And then, of course, we have coming up, there's news this week that Jorge is training with Tyron Woodley. Woodley's going to be fighting Colby Covington coming up pretty soon. And Woodley winning that fight, that's not enough to get him into contention. But if Colby wins that fight, you know, he's certainly back in there. And then, you know, everybody, of course, always has to be respectful and mention Leon Edwards, although you have never seen Leon Edwards fight. I don't even, you know, they say he has an 8-fight win streak, but if you've seen Leon Edwards fight, I would tell you you're a liar, because I haven't seen him fight. I've seen him get his three-piece in a soda from Jorge Masvidal. You know, there's a theory of Leon Edwards. I don't know where he is. You know, he's a guy there. He could be made a character in the UFC game for all I know. Anyway, so yeah, that was this week. Everybody, I appreciate you tuning in. Again, pregame show start up in a few hours. 2:15 pregame show, 3:30 tip-off, game 4, Eastern Conference semifinals. Your Miami Heat taking on the Milwaukee Bucks. Jimmy Butler coming to the game in a janitor's outfit. He's bringing his brooms. Duncan Robinson, he's got the Fabuloso. Tyler Hero, he's got the mop in the bucket. Let's get this thing. Go Heat. Fighters Fury. Miss any of the show? Download the podcast. Love you guys. I will be working tomorrow, by the way, just so you know. So win or loss, Heat, I'm not soft. Leroy and I will be on tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Hopefully it'll be without pants, and it's a sans pants victory Labor Day. That's what I'm hoping for. But we'll see. Let's go. Let's see if they can close this thing out today, boys. Love you guys, and talk to you next time.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.